Do you understand the purpose of human existence as we enter the new millennium? World News and Prophecy presents an analysis of world affairs and the answers to the great questions of life in light of the Word of God. This program will help you unlock the true meaning behind the events in the Middle East, the global economy, politics, and religion. And now, for World News and Prophecy, Dr. Donald Ward.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to today's program. Do you know God, and does God know you? If you know God, how did you come to know Him, and how did He come to know you? Is it possible to think you know God and not know Him at all? In order to know and know that you know that you know God, you must ask the question, how do you come to know God? During Christ's earthly ministry, He asked the apostles, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Here we see that Jesus Christ said that He was the Son of Man, the prophesied Messiah who was to come. The apostles responded, "Some say that you're John the Baptist, some Elijah, some others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." Then Christ responded, "But whom do you say that I am?" Then Peter responded, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." This is known in theological circles as Peter's confession. Then Jesus said to Peter, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto you, but my Father who is in heaven." So according to Jesus Christ, you come to know Him by revelation. There are people who devote themselves to meditation and contemplation in an effort to come to understand and to know God. In so doing, many people make God over in their own image. That is to say that people have not come to understand some of the keys to successful living through human philosophy and meditation. It's not to say that, because some people have come to understand some of the keys to successful living through human philosophy and meditation. But does that mean that they know the true God? Can you come to know God through human reasoning or any other mental exercise? Jesus states in John 4:24 that God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So are you worshiping God in spirit and in truth? God is spirit. He is invisible and thus not discernible through the five senses. We've already established from the words of Jesus that you cannot come to know God apart from revelation. So how does God reveal Himself to human beings? As we have already noted, God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Since God is spirit, He reveals Himself through His Spirit and through His Word. In John 6:63, Jesus Christ states, "The flesh profits nothing. It is the spirit that quickens or makes alive." Then He said, "The words I speak, they are spirit and they are life." Thus, the Word of God is equated with the Spirit of God. The Word of God reveals the very mind of God. Humans were made in the image of God, as we note in Genesis 1:26 and Genesis 1:27, that God made male and females in His own image. But humankind is not of the same essence of God. That is, we're not spirit. Man was made from the dust of the ground and subject to sin and death. Thus, man is mortal and must receive the essence of God, the Holy Spirit, in order to live forever. But even though man is not immortal by creation, God created humankind with mental faculties that we call mind, that are akin to God. Man can think in the abstract. He can think about eternity. He can think about life after death. He can reason, compose beautiful music, and create beautiful works of art. Note what the Apostle Paul writes concerning how we come to know the things of man and the things of God in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. "But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him. That animating spirit that gives us mind, it's not an immortal soul, but it is an essence that gives us mind. Even so, the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. So the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. In other words, the things of God must be revealed. He goes on to say, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So in order to understand spiritual things, the Spirit of God must open your minds. The Spirit of God is the enabler, and through the Word of God, the very mind of God can be revealed to us. The study of knowledge is called epistemology. Scientists recognize three ways of gaining knowledge. Empirical knowledge, that is, knowledge gained through the five senses. Rational knowledge, that's knowledge gained through human reasoning. And experiential knowledge, that is, knowledge gained through human experience. And some talk about sudden insight as a way of gaining knowledge, but may not be recognized by everyone. Yet, scientists, psychologists, deny the fact that knowledge can be gained through revelation. But to deny that fact is to deny the truth of the Bible. And if you deny the truth of the Bible, you in effect deny that God exists. And if you deny the truth of the Bible and the existence of God, you cannot possibly come to know God. The Bible is the Word of God, and it reveals the very mind of God. However, the Spirit of God is the enabler. It enables one to really understand the truth of God. No man knows the things of God save by the Holy Spirit, as we've just read. The principal way God has chosen to reach the world with the truth is through preaching and teaching. Just before Jesus made his final ascent into heaven after his resurrection, he commissioned the disciples. This is in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go you therefore and teach all nations. That word literally means to disciple them, to teach them, disciple them, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. So this teaching is actually the doctrine, as we'll see in just a moment. Teaching them, or you could say indoctrinating them into everything that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. But to a large degree, the people of the world have not responded to the preaching of the teaching of the gospel. And this is largely due to the fact that ministers have departed from the faith once delivered and have perverted the true teachings of the Bible. So today, the ministry is coming to be one of the least respected professions on the face of the earth. God warned us through the Apostle Jude not to fall into this trap of perverting the teachings of the Bible. Jude writes in verse 3 of his epistle, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Jude said, I had meant to write an epistle about all the things we held in common, but then it became necessary for me to stir you up and to remind you that you need to contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, this judgment, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. Now, lasciviousness means license to sin. And basically, that is what so many teach, is that you can do basically anything you want to, just believe in Jesus. He goes on writing and saying, and denying the only Lord and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. Yes, you have to continue in the faith, and you have to believe what God says, but not only believe it, but to do it. And today I'm putting you in remembrance of how you can come to know the true God. The Apostle Paul tells us how peoples of the world view the preaching of the gospel. Paul writes, Romans 1, verse 18, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness." And a lot of people believe that that's exactly what preaching is all about, because the gospel has been perverted. Some make it into the prosperity gospel. Some make it into the only believe gospel. Some make it into licentiousness, license to sin. Some make it into just a form of righteousness, but denying the power thereof. And we could go on and on with what some make it into. Paul says, "It's foolishness to them that perish or are perishing, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world?" If you think that you can come to really know God through some kind of scientific experiment, meditation, or contemplation, forget it. You'll never come to really know God that way. He goes on to write, this is in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21, "For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, oh, show me what miracle you will do, and then I'll believe. Whereas Jesus told Thomas, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. And the Greeks seek after wisdom." Oh, they're going to figure it out through human reasoning. "But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God." So it says in John 6:44 that no man can come to Jesus Christ unless the Father draw him. "Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." So in order for God to reveal himself to you, you must in some way hear the word of God, and God's Spirit must open your mind to his truth. Paul writes in Romans 10:14, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" So the word of God has to be preached, that you have to hear it. And that's one of the main things, one of the main reasons why Christ commissioned the church to go out and to preach the gospel. Then he writes in Romans 10:17, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." You cannot have true spiritual faith apart from the word of God. When we come back for the next segment of our program, we'll continue to explore the question, how do we come to really know God? On today's program, we're offering two vital booklets that will help you come to know God and know that you know God. The first one is The Ultimate Question of Life, Does God Exist? Does God exist? This booklet will show you clearly from many different sources irrefutable proof of the existence of God, and then another booklet on the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments, the immutable spiritual law of God, has not been done away with. Paul writes in Romans 7, verse 14, that the law is spiritual, and the law is perfect, according to the psalmist in Psalm 19, verse 7, and it is immutable, it is spiritual. And it is necessary for you to really come to understand God, that you understand His commandments. Because the Bible says, for this is the love of God, that we should keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. That's 1 John 5:3. So we will send you a free copy of these two booklets, The Ultimate Question, Does God Exist?, and the booklet on the Ten Commandments. All you have to do is to call our toll-free number. That toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. Once again, that toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. Or log on to the web at ucg.org and go to the literature section or the free literature that is offered there. And now back to World News and Prophecy. In the first segment of our program, we have clearly seen that God is spirit. Those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth, and that it is through the Spirit of God that we can come to know the things of God, that God is only known through revelation. We have also seen from John 6:63, where Christ said, "The words I speak, they are spirit, and they are truth." So you have to open the pages of your Bible and really come to see for yourself what the Bible really says and not take anyone else's word for it. I heard a minister recently on the radio waxing eloquently on the subject of knowing God. He was using a type of sophistry to try to make people think that it was not necessary to really understand doctrine in order to know God. But what do we mean by sophistry? Sophistry is derived from the Greek word sophism, meaning wisest, or one who does wisdom, that is, one who makes a business out of wisdom. It was originally a term for the techniques taught by a highly respected group of philosophy and rhetoric teachers in ancient Greece. Today, sophism generally refers to a particularly confusing, illogical, and/or insincere argument used by someone to make a point, or perhaps not to make a point. Sophistry refers to the practice of using such arguments and is used pejoratively for rhetoric that is designed to appeal to the listener on grounds other than the strict logical cogency of the statements being made. In other words, sophistry oftentimes appeals to emotion, or it appeals to human nature right off the top of the head. So the preacher says doctrine is not what is important, but that you know God. This appeals to lazy and weak minds. The listener says, "Yeah, I don't have to understand doctrine. I just need to believe in Jesus, and that's good enough for me." But if you really want to know God, you should ask the corollary to that question, and that is, can I know God apart from doctrine, from the teaching? What is the biblical definition of doctrine? The Greek word didache, that is translated doctrine in the New Testament, means that which is taught, doctrine, teaching, concerning something, the act of teaching, instructing. In religious assemblies of the Christians, to speak in the way of teaching, in distinction from other modes of speaking in public. So, let's see how this word is used by Jesus and the apostles. This word, didache, the one that is translated doctrine so often in the New Testament. Can you really come to know God apart from the true doctrine that Jesus Christ taught? Luke 4:32, "And they were astonished at his doctrine, his didache, his teaching, for his word was with power." John 7:16, "Jesus answered them and said, My doctrine, my teaching is not mine, but his that sent me, and the Father sent him." John 7:17, "If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, the teaching, whether it be of God, or whether I speak of myself." And then we notice after, on the day of Pentecost, after Peter preached his inspired sermon, and 3,000 souls were added that day to the church, the beginning of the new covenant church, the church of God, in Acts 2:42, And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, their teaching and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. So we see it is clear that doctrine is the teaching. The teaching of the Bible is the doctrine of the Bible. And how does God teach us? God teaches us through His Word. Once again, Jesus states in John 6:63, "It is the Spirit that quickens, that makes alive. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." So we see in John 6:63 that the Word of God is equated with the Spirit of God. So God reveals Himself through His Word. Knowing someone has to do with developing a relationship with that one. Relationships are developed through personal communication. God communicates with us through His Word, and we can talk to Him through praying to Him. In reading the Bible, you can become convicted that you are a sinner, and that the only way to be truly reconciled to God in Christ is to repent and exercise faith in the sacrifice of Christ, so your sins can be forgiven. This is covered in Romans chapter 3. You should read it. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. One of the effective prayers that we can pray, and perhaps the most effective prayer that we can pray, especially initially, is, "Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner." Even though God is holy, He opens His mind, His heart, and His arms to those who will seek Him with a repentant heart. God knows our frame. That is, He knows the human condition. After all, He created us in His image, but we were made of flesh, and we are subject to sin and death. In Psalm 103, verse 6, the psalmist here begins to lay out for us, actually I'm going to start in Psalm 103, verse 8, he lays out for us the description of man and then God's view. "The Eternal is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy." In fact, His mercy never fails. But there are conditions to Him extending His mercy. "He will not chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities, our disobedience." In fact, if He had have done that, we would all be dead, for the wages of sin is death. "For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him." And one of the things that it says about fearing God is Proverbs 8:13, that this is the fear of God, that we should hate evil. How many people really hate evil in this world today? "As far as the east is from the west, so far as He removed our transgressions from us." And that's like infinity. "Like as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities them that fear Him. For He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust." That's Psalm 103, verse 14. "As for man, his days are as a grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Eternal is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep His covenant, and to those that remember His commandments to do them." As we can see here, God understands our frame and is full of mercy and compassion. As Paul writes in Romans 3:23, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Sin separates you from God, but through faith in the sacrifice of Christ, you can be reconciled to God. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." Paul writes in Romans 5:6, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And we quote the famous John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. But to believe in him really has to do also with doing what he says. And a condition for receiving the Holy Spirit is to repent, as Peter told those on the day of Pentecost when he preached that inspired sermon, when the Holy Spirit was sent to the New Covenant Church in Acts 2:38, he said, "Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So Paul writes here, "But God commends his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. "Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son." See, we were enemies of God when we were in our sins, but when we accept the sacrifice of Christ and repent of our sins, God views us as sinless, as it says in Psalm 103, "So far as he removed our sins from us, as far as the east is from the west, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." That very essence of God, God living in us, we can be partakers of the divine essence. We can have the very essence of God in Christ in us through the Spirit of God in Christ. As we can see here, you cannot truly come to know God just through human effort and human contemplation. You must come to understand the true doctrine, teaching of the Bible in order to really know God. To really know God, we must love him. So what is the Bible definition of the love of God? Here it is. "For this is the love of God, that we should keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous." 1 John 5:3. The Apostle John writes in 1 John 2:4, "He that says, I know him, and keeps not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him." Here we see that we cannot claim to know God if we don't know his commandments and do them. And how can we know the commandments if we have never been taught them? In other words, if we don't know the true doctrine of God, we cannot know God. You can learn the true doctrine of God. All you have to do is to open the pages of your Bible and ask God to open your mind and heart to his precious truth. God says, "Knock and I will open. Seek and you will find." And you can call for our free booklets, which will aid you greatly in coming to understand how you can truly come to know God. Call for the free booklet, "The Ultimate Question, Does God Exist?" And the other one, "The Ten Commandments." We have just read here in 1 John 2:4, "He that says, I know him, and keeps not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him." And be sure to be tuned to this station at this time next week for World News and Prophecy. You have been listening to World News and Prophecy. For the free literature offered on this program, you may call our toll-free number. That toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. Once again, that toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. And be sure to be listening at this same time next week for World News and Prophecy.